Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. And last week, we heard the rocks cracking. The last rocks fell from the midterm elections. And in the state of Mississippi, there was a Senate runoff election, and we're going to talk about that. But more than that, on this week's show right here, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday, and you are listening to us on webtalkradio.net. And I want to tell you, we're going to talk about the economy, where it's going, what people are doing, what about tariffs, what about the interest rates, who's fighting Donald Trump, who wants a recession. Well, there's some in this country, I think, want to see a recession. They hate Trump so much, they want everybody to hurt, so maybe he won't have a chance to get reelected. Who knows? But we're going to talk about the economy and what's going on. And before we get to that, we're going to talk about President Trump came to Tupelo, Mississippi last week, the day before there's a runoff election, November 26th and or 27th, I should say. It was on a Tuesday, last Tuesday. Cindy Hyde-Smith was running. She's the incumbent Republican, had been appointed back earlier in the year for Senator Thad Cochran's Senate seat when he retired for health reasons. And since then, she was in the runoff with Mike Espy, a former Secretary of Agriculture, former Mississippi congressman, the first elected black congressman since Reconstruction in the state of Mississippi way back in the late 80s. But he was running again to try to get into the Senate, and money poured into that election. Money poured in. We talked about the Green Wave. Well, it poured about another $11 million on top of what had been spent in this a Senate election, which is unreal for the state of Mississippi. But saying all that, Donald Trump, President Trump, came to Tupelo, and he made a splash as his land, as his Air Force One came in. The crowd was going wild. They had everybody there at the airport. The weather was great. It was a beautiful day. It was cold in Mississippi. People were wrapped up, but they stood up for hours to see the President of the United States come in. First time he had ever been to Tupelo. First time a sitting president had been to Tupelo since Franklin Delano Roosevelt rode in on a train back in 1934. So it was a big event for the whole city, whole region, Northeast Mississippi, where Tupelo is. And that's where we do this show week after week for years. We've been doing Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's where our headquarters are. And it was a big, big event. And more than that, it helped get people fired up, let them know they better get out in the runoff elections. You know, most runoff elections, a lot of people forget about it. They didn't here in the state of Mississippi. Cindy Hyde-Smith, she did win. And she won by about 7-8% percentage points. It was a lot of money being poured in by the green wave of Democratic billionaires, and others just funded this race and tried to make it close. It wasn't real close, but it brought the president in. And because it was Tupelo, he came in and talked about Elvis Presley. Let's let you hear how his speech started right here in the great city of Tupelo, Mississippi.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mississippi. It is great to be here. Great, great victories in Mississippi. We really did. We had great victories in Mississippi, as you know very well. They weren't even close. By the way, tomorrow, if you don't mind, make it not even close to December. Well, I am thrilled to be back in Tupelo. I love Tupelo. Home of thousands of hardworking American patriots and the proud birthplace of the king of rock and roll, Elvis. Elvis! We love Elvis. I shouldn't say this. You'll say I'm very conceited because I'm not. But other than the blonde hair, when I was growing up, they said I looked like Elvis. You see that? Could you believe it? I always considered that a great compliment. We love Elvis, don't we? In fact, we just gave Elvis the Medal of Freedom Award at the White House.
Well, if you remember last week's show, I played a clip. I was on a statewide radio show called the Paul Gallo Show, talking about the election of Cindy Hyde Smith, and he started the show out with how he thought Trump, President Trump, had some resemblance of Elvis Presley, and everybody sort of laughed. But you can go back and listen to that in the archive. Go back and listen to last week's show. But that's how Paul Gallo, the statewide radio specialist, I guess you could call him, right here in the state of Mississippi, he started it off with Trump and Elvis having some similarities in their looks. So people have said that, and that's what you just heard. President Trump said, growing up, people said he had something like Elvis. And CNN could not leave that alone. No. CNN could not leave that alone. Let me let you hear this clip from CNN. Now, they didn't really hound him. This is funny. I enjoyed listening to this. And this is their commentator that puts in these sort of funny documentary type things. And so she picked up on the Elvis and Trump, and I enjoyed this. Listen to this from CNN.
Forget Donald J. Trump. Meet Donald Elvis Trump.
Elvis! We love Elvis.
But people were left feeling...
Oh, sugar.
When the president took it a step further...
I shouldn't say this. You'll say I'm very conceited because I'm not. But other than the blonde hair, when I was growing up, they said I looked like Elvis. You see that?
Many suspicious minds saw no resemblance, zero match. Cue the side-by-side comparisons, paying lip service to a shared penchant for puckering. Critics trotted out old Elvis. He actually does resemble 1970s Elvis a little bit. This just in from Graceland, Elvis reacts to Trump thinking he looks like him. But come on, don't you see a bit of Elvis in this tweet captioned, "You be the judge"? There's no question Donald Trump likes being compared with good-looking stars.
He's young. He has Robert Redford good looks.
Forget about it. I just like that introduction.
But Elvis was in a whole other category.
He was something special.
The president even awarded him a Medal of Freedom posthumously, and Donald Elvis Trump felt love in return.
Out, out! He looks like an Elvis impersonator. That's strange, because all the Elvis impersonators love Donald Trump. They love me.
Some thought the president and the king of rock and roll have a song in common.
Come on and do the jailhouse rock with me, let rock.
Just listening to Elvis at the medal ceremony, it felt like the president wished he could reach for a mic instead of his tie. Jeannie Moe, CNN.
Well, that was Jeannie Moe of CNN. She does those type of funny little documentary essays, you can call it, on CNN. And I thought she found something funny. And for once, CNN didn't just smear the name of Donald Trump. She pushed it a little on the edge. But it was funny. I'll call that funny for CNN. So thank Jeannie Moe for that. But now, in just a minute, we're going to get to the economy and talk about the economy and what's going on. Some things I don't hear anywhere on the mainstream media. We hear about recession, no recession, interest rates. But there's something I want to talk to you about that I think is very important that nobody's bringing up about the economy and what the president is doing. And Larry Kudlow, his economic guru, we should say. What's going on. So don't want to miss that. We're about to get to it. But first, as let me finish up about the last election of the midterm cycle. It was between Sidney Hyde Smith and like I said, she was the incumbent appointed senator, United States Senator from Mississippi, and Mike Espy. What happened when about a month ago, even before the runoff election, the money started pouring in from Mike Espy. And basically, you had two respected people in the state of Mississippi. Sidney Hyde Smith had been a state senator. She had been elected twice as state agriculture commissioner. Well-known, well-respected across the state of Mississippi, Mike Espy. Now, he was a congressman, Mississippi congressman, then became the Secretary of Agriculture under Bill Clinton. He had to resign. He sort of forced resign because of some dealings that looked like he had taken some money and tickets to Super Bowl and different things. But then he was exonerated from all those things, but still left a ugly tinge to some folks. But he came back to run, and as he was running for office, it was shown that he had taken a $750,000 contract from a murderous dictator in Africa, and a country I believe is Iberia. But anyway, this past month, between Sidney Hyde Smith and Mike Espy, both of them, the negative campaigning has left both of them worse off with a public image than when they began. This is the bad thing about politics. If you can't look at the ideas, what we should be talking about is the difference in the ideas, the difference in the platforms of each party, and what you will fight for to help the people, what's better to help the people in your state. And yet negative campaigning comes pouring in. And then we saw that all over with the green wave, the negativity that came through this Democratic, liberal, progressive mess of billionaire money that came pouring through. And now in the state of Mississippi, two well-respected citizens who wanted to represent their party in the state of Mississippi, both of them have damaged perceptions of who they are. And now Sidney Hyde Smith, even though she wants to lead everybody in Mississippi, they made her look like a racist. People question her, what her loyalty is, who she represents. And now she'll have that sort of a mud thrown all over with the mudslinging. That, how does she come out of that? How does she gain respect from across the whole state of Mississippi? I don't know if she does. We're just going to see. But that's the part of negative politics that Americans everywhere, not just Mississippi, but Americans everywhere, should decry. We should get away from that and build up. Give me your idea and tell me why it's better. Don't be like these universities that shut down conservatives and won't bring them on campus because they say it's a security threat. And then you got snowflakes that never hear, never get to have a debate with words and ideas because conservatives get shut down before you even have a free debate. So that's what scares me about the left-wingers getting power in America, when they shut down any opposition thought, any opposition debate. So those are things we look forward to with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, to make sure you understand the freedom of speech is imperative for this country, imperative for wherever we go, whatever generation there is. For as long as America stands for freedom, we must stand up for freedom of speech. Now, I said that, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. In just a minute, we'll be talking about the economy, some things you may not have heard anybody say about the economy. I want to talk about that. And before we do, I will remind you, we do have a book out called Bedrock Truths, and say we, because I wrote it along with Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. You can go to my website, just right there, picture right there on the front of Rock Splitting Politics. Picture the book. You click on that image. It'll take you right to the website, and you order the book from there. If you want to order it on Amazon, if you got some kind of gift card, hey, Christmas coming up. Great book to get out to your friends and neighbors, especially your liberal friends. Give them something good for Christmas they can read. Bedrock Truth by Dr. Ed Holliday, Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. You can go there, order that book, and get it in time for Christmas. Now, we are on webtalkradio.net. Other shows on there. Go to webtalkradio.net. Check out all the shows. But every week, plug it in. Listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We appreciate the new listeners that came aboard during the election around the country. We got new people listening to us. We appreciate you coming on board and continue to listen to us, because just like I'm about to tell you in just a minute about this economy, there's some things that you just don't hear on all the mainstream media. I'm going to tell you about it in just a moment. Let's hear this little pitch from our friend from Fox News, Todd Starnes.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splittin' Politics. Sweet mercy.
Whew, all right.
That's good.
Hey, that's our friend over at Fox News, Todd Starnes, and what a great guy he is. He's got a great show over there. I think he's got some new show on Fox Streaming, Fox Nation Streaming, so check out Todd Starnes. Now, let me just remind you that as we're getting ready for the new year, there's a lame duck session of Congress, and I hope they can get a lot packed in. They need to. If I was the Republican House, before they lose control to the Democrats, I think I'd go back and revisit. Do they need a special prosecutor for those who, in the FBI and others who shows like there is the FISA abuse in the with the FISA courts? So I hope the Republicans will do that. I mean, that's what, if they're going to go after Donald Trump for 2 years, I would unleash everything, every bloodhound you have to go just the way Mueller is doing Trump. They ought to be doing that to the Clinton team, to Hillary, and everything Bill's had done. Just look at all, I won't go into it, but it is just amazing how the Democrats look like they can get by of anything. Just like last week where they came out with the Cohen, the sleazy lawyer that Trump had, and turned against Trump, but you know they're going to get him for prosecuting for lying to Congress. Well, didn't James Comey, FBI? He's proven he lied. Clapper, who was our head of defense there under Obama, and he lied to Congress. Or if you're going to put people in jail for lying to Congress, you better do it to the everybody's lied to Congress, you know, not just the Republican or somebody leaning Republican. The Democrats always seem to get off scot-free. So I hope before the lame duck session of Congress is over, they'll set things up to let, if you're gonna look under every rock and cranny on one side, you better do it on both sides, or it's just not fair, and American people ought to understand that and demand it. Now, let's talk about the economy. It's an outstanding economy. It looks like we're going to get growth for a whole year of over 3%. It hasn't happened since, I think they said, 2005. Growth over 3%. It came in last quarter at 3.5%. They're talking about how it's going to ease off, and all the economists say, well, it's, you know, we're going to get down to 2%. It's easing off. These are the same economists who said we could never get 3% again. You remember it was Barack Obama when he was campaigning for Hillary Clinton back in 2016. He was asked a question, and he basically, former President Obama, at the time President Obama, was saying, you know, what do you need, a magic wand? Well, let's play this clip and see how he mocked candidate Donald Trump at that time in 2016.
For those folks who've lost their job right now because a plant went down to Mexico, you know, that isn't going to make you feel better. And so what we have to do is to make sure that folks are trained for the jobs that are coming in now, because some of those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back, well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, "Well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal." Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
Well, former President Obama, I think you understand now that President Trump must have a magic wand because he's bringing back jobs that you said would never come back. And it's interesting, former President Barack Obama is trying to take credit for this economy that's hitting 3.5% growth. And for a whole year, it's going to be over 3% growth. First time since like 2005. President Obama, over 8 years, never had a full year of 3% economic growth. Never in 8 years. And they were saying because President Obama couldn't have 3%, then, and he was the most intelligent, wonderful, best president we ever had in the eyes of the media, they said, well, obviously our economy, it can never be over 3% again, and it's just the way it is. Just get used to it. We're going to have 1.5% growth, 2% at best. But Donald Trump comes in, they laughed at him, and he said he was going to try to get up to 3% and average that, and these economists laughed at him. Larry Summers, Paul Krugman, all these people on the liberal side just mocked Donald Trump, said you have no plan. He's gotten into office and his plan is working. And if the Republicans had backed him more, they and gotten health care and got rid of Obamacare, maybe they wouldn't have got beat and lose the House. But the economy is smoking. It's sizzling. Larry Kudlow knows. But these are some things that you're not going to hear anywhere else but here. When I listen to business shows, they're talking about, well, the economy is going to simmer down, it's going to cool off because the tax cut is running out. Now, when the Republicans put together the tax cut, because of the way they had to get around the not having to have a filibuster-proof Senate, the only way they could put the tax cuts through was to make it like a reconciliation bill. Won't get into all that, but they could only do it up to 2025 or somewhere like that. So, yes, the tax cuts are running out in about another 6 or 7 years. They're not running out. The tax cut is the gift that keeps on giving. It's going to keep helping the economy. It's going to keep putting, like, oil in the economic engines of America. It doesn't run out. But these economists, the same ones that said Trump can never get to 3%, are ones saying now, well, it's going to cool off because the tax cuts are over. That's crazy. The tax cuts aren't over. Yes, the Democrats took over the House, but they could never get a bill passed by through the Senate that's going to pull back and get rid of the tax cuts that the Republicans have given to the American people and the American businesses. So that is what you need to know and understand. The other thing is, in this, looking at this whole wide world and putting America first, what Donald Trump is doing with these tariffs, and it's driving people crazy, and the economists say it's not a good thing. And Larry Kudlow is a free trader, and he's Trump's economic advisor, but he realizes the way, like Trump does, China's been eating our lunch for 30 years, and they've been stealing our property as far as intellectual property. If you have American companies going, and it's not just America, but companies around the world, before you can build in China, you have to allow your intellectual property to be compromised by China before you can put a factory there. These are the type of things that are cutting into the American business, cutting into royalties, cutting into what American companies should get, and because of what their creativity and patents. This is something that's been abused for decades by China. And not only that, there's a string of things that, and Donald Trump is putting the Chinese to the test and saying, you know, I'm not going to be like the pushovers you've had before. And as we're recording this radio show, the weekend before it goes out on Monday, yes, President Donald Trump is meeting with the president of China, Xi, and they're having dinner, and I have not heard the report of that dinner. So I don't know if things are going to be good, bad, or average, or what's going to happen after that dinner. But it really doesn't matter, because as long as Donald Trump is in charge of what the China and America trade policies. He's going to stand up for who? The American worker, the one that Barack Obama said you're going to have to be retrained because your jobs aren't coming back. But Donald Trump says we're going to get your jobs back, and it's happening. And it's something that's really, you have to say, it's a Trump miracle. Now, does it keep going? Well, they say the whole world economy is cooling off. Well, if the whole world economy is cooling off, what in the world is the Federal Reserve, what's Chairman Jerome doing, raising interest rates? Now, this is something that you won't hear on Doc Holliday. You won't hear in mainstream media. You'll hear on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics about interest rates. When it comes to the Federal Reserve, who has never been audited, and I do believe like Rand Paul and like his dad before him, Ron Paul, we ought to audit the Fed. We ought to make sure the Fed is on the up and up. We don't know what is in their audit, and it's one of the things because they're not audited. But what one thing the Federal Reserve gets wrong is they keep raising interest rates, and it's until the economy can't take it anymore. It falls down into recession. And then, you know, that's what scares me. I think the Democrats are begging for the recession. Some of them hate Donald Trump so much. They are begging for a recession that everybody in America will hurt and get hurt economically, so they'll turn against this president. And that is not even patriotic. It's worse than unpatriotic. I think it borders on treason almost. They say they love America so much they want America to go through a recession, so we'll get rid of President Trump. Well, I'm saying, won't we give President Trump our backing and work with the Democrats on infrastructure? And this is the thing you need to know. Doc Holliday calls it the rope-a-dope economy, the rope-a-dope Federal Reserve. This is the, if anybody's old enough to remember Muhammad Ali and the way he'd go into the ring and he had a new move, a new strategy called a rope-a-dope, but he'd take some punches, fall back, and then go after him. And that's what we need, a rope-a-dope Federal Reserve. You don't just keep raising interest rates until you get a recession. Raise them when you need to. Fall back, just like the rope-a-dope. Let them get a punch in or two of inflation. Then raise them some more. Fall back and fall back a little more if you need to. Don't keep raising until a recession happens. Can we not go back a little? And saying that, they say, well, we got to cool things off, so we're going to raise the interest rates. Is Donald Trump not using tariffs to help cool some things off and at the same time straighten out a crooked trade deal that's been made that's been hurting the American worker for the last 20 or 30 years? Now, that's the difference you get with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Those who want to hear things you don't hear anywhere else, that's it. The rope-a-dope economy. The rope-a-dope Federal Reserve. I'm telling the Federal Reserve what they can do. Don't keep raising rates till it hurts, until it crashes the economy. Do the Federal Reserve rope-a-dope. Tell them Doc Holliday said that's what will get America into a building up of our economy. And it can build and cool and build and cool, and you don't have to go through recession. But you let Donald Trump see what he's doing with tariffs. And, you know, we've never had a president like Donald Trump who's taken on China, taken on the world. He's got Mexico and Canada. They last week signed a new, getting rid of NAFTA, signed a new trade agreement. Does that not have some help on this economy? Does that not affect the Federal Reserve? Can you not do a rope-a-dope strategy? The Federal Reserve, the governors, they've just dealt with the establishment and the swamp for decades and even a century now almost with the Federal Reserve. They don't understand somebody like Donald Trump who wants to work for the American worker, the American people, the mom and pop shops, the people who voted for him. They felt like nobody would take up their calls. Donald Trump has. And cannot the Federal Reserve understand, keep the economy going strong? Don't raise up the interest rates till it crashes into a recession. Do the economic Federal Reserve rope-a-dope. It's a strategy the Federal Reserve has not used before. They need to learn how to do the rope-a-dope. Learn something from Muhammad Ali and his boxing. We can grow stronger and better and make, just like now, America has more job openings than they have workers to fill. When have we seen that? Look at the low unemployment rate, record lows for African Americans, for African American youth, for Hispanic Americans. But we don't need to stop when we say, make America great again. How many times have you heard Doc Holliday say, not only make America great again, make it the best it's ever been? And that's what we're talking about, the economy. Do the Federal Reserve rope-a-dope. Tell them Doc Holliday sent you. Tell the Federal Reserve, those who know anybody on the board, I don't know anybody at the Federal Reserve. But to learn the rope-a-dope strategy and stop raising interest rates till you crash the economy into a recession. We don't need that. We need to help the middle class, the poor, lift them up, and the working poor will become the middle class, and we'll have the American dream back on track. Listen to Donald Trump. Look what he's doing. He has not, it's not like he's telling us something that he's going to try. What he's doing is working. Let's get behind President Trump and build America for everybody so we can say, not only make America great again, but make it the best it's ever been. This is Doc Holliday, and we're going to keep working on. I told you we're working on a show talking about racism, how to end racism immediately, and we're getting that show together. I hope to get it out in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So keep listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We'll be here because the rocks keep on falling and they keep cracking. And we're here to tell you about it right here. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Or visit DocHolliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.